Did you know that as more people listen to WNYC on the internet, our bandwidth expenses go up? Please do your part to support WNYC's online services. Click the ePledge button to make your gift now. And thanks.
From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is Soundcheck On Demand. I'm John Schaefer. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. So please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Let's get ready to rumble. It's Jersey versus Long Island. In this corner. Springsteen, the boss, the pride of the Garden State. And in this corner.
Licks face, new way, dance great. Anyways, it's still rock and roll to me.
That's Billy Joel, Long Island's pride and joy. And they're not the only ones. New Jersey and Long Island have both been home to some big names in music history, and to honor their musical heroes, Long Island inducted its very own Hall of Fame class into the Long Island Music Hall of Fame last week, and New Jersey has its own Music Hall of Fame in the works. Richard Lahamidou is the chair of the Long Island Music Hall of Fame, and he's here with us in the studio. Gary Ween is joining us by phone from New Jersey, where he's president of the board of the New Jersey Music Hall of Fame. Richard, Gary, let me ask you guys both the same question to begin. Why do this? What is the purpose of having a regional music hall of fame? Richard, first.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Long Island has been a wellspring of musical talent for over 100 years. And one of the things that's unique about us as an island is that we really have not been able to take ownership of that heritage. Because
of the looming shadow of New York City? Or?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, a lot of artists, you know, and it's actually become a stigma. A lot of artists won't say they come from Long Island. They have to say they come from New York
right. In
order to be taken seriously. And what we as an island are trying to do, or as we as an organization, is we need to change that mindset. We need to make Long Island the cool place to be from, to have great music come from here. And there are a few exceptions. Billy Joel has always been staunchly, Long Island. And, you know, we are very proud of that fact that he's always been there. But there's a lot of bands. I mean, let's take, you know, the Stray Cats. They had to go to England.
Right.
In order to make it.
Yes, I didn't even realize that they were a Long Island band.
Yeah, massive people.
Let's cross the river and ask Gary the same question. Gary, what's the thinking behind the New Jersey Music Hall of Fame?
Actually, a lot of it is the same reasons for Long Island. New Jersey, the artists pretty much are in the shadow of New York City and Philadelphia. And New Jersey's history goes back all the way to the days of the colonies. And I don't think people recognize that. There wouldn't even be a music industry if it wasn't for New Jersey, with Edison creating the phonograph and the first record labels. I mean, the history just keeps going on and on, but a lot of the artists felt the need to, the record labels, I think, pushed them to say, you're from New York or you're from Philadelphia. And when you see the wealth of talent in New Jersey, we think that should be recognized. Same thing with Long Island.
All right. So now let me ask you this. Are you guys aiming this? Is this kind of like a local boosterism kind of thing? Let's make Long Islanders feel good about themselves. Let's make the folks in New Jersey feel like the state has made a contribution. Or are you thinking, let's get the tourists? You know, let's bring people to Long Island. Let's bring people to New Jersey.
Well, you know, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, we need to take, as a community, take ownership of our heritage. Also, I mean, it wouldn't hurt to give our music industry a boost by making it recognizable by the tourist industry on Long Island. I mean, that would be important. But we're more than just, you know, what has come from Long Island. What we're looking to do is a lot of educational programs, working with music therapists to work with Alzheimer's patients. We're taking it the next step. You know, we don't want to just be about the past. We're also about the future.
Okay. Gary, you had told the New York Times last year that you intended to open by Memorial Day. What's the holdup been?
Well, financing more than anything. I think the way that we're probably going to start out is very similar to what they did at Long Island with an induction ceremony first. And actually, I mean, that's how the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland got started as well. They did inductions for probably about a half a decade or so before they had a physical building. So that's pretty much the stumbling block that we're coming to. But for us, I mean, we just see this as a huge, huge portion of tourism. I mean, every weekend there are people, say like Bruce Springsteen fans or Jon Bon Jovi fans. Every single weekend you see people in places like Asbury Park just wandering around taking pictures because it's a worldwide, you know, tourism spot for music.
Right.
And we want to just build into that. I mean, there are, you know, thousands of people coming and there's nothing bringing them there. You know, we want to tie it, you know, a nice plan together, give them a place to go, give them, you know, souvenirs to, you know, remember the times by and stuff.
So it's financing, basically. I mean, how much does it cost to get a Music Hall of Fame up and running?
The numbers are like 50 to 100 million.
Really?
You know,
And how far along are you in New Jersey?
We're really in the beginning stages. We've got some people that are very influential and some people that have money that are involved, but we need a lot more.
All right. Now, Richard, you guys are a few steps ahead. You've inducted your first class into the Long Island Music Hall of Fame, but your Hall of Fame also does not have a physical home yet.
Well, no, we don't have a physical home per se right now, but we do have buildings that are being offered to us. That are offered to us for like leasing for a dollar a year.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at that right now. It's important that when you try to build something like this, you need to really look at where you put it. New Jersey has a great spot in Asbury Park in that it already has a built-in tourist.
Right, as Gary was just telling
us.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things we did is we did a study. We went to museums and Hall of Fames throughout the country. We did a tour. And we looked at what made some successful and what made others not successful.
Are there other music halls of fame?
There are a lot of them, believe it or not.
And the numbers are growing every year.
In fact, the inspiration for Long Island came from the Georgia Music Hall of Fame. I happened to be coming through on a gig. I was driving an RV. You have a lot of time when you drive an RV. I stopped into the Georgia Music Hall of Fame on my way back to New York, and I was absolutely floored by what they were doing for the local music industry, the education system and the educational programs they were doing. And on my way home, I started thinking, you know, we really need this. And that was kind of the seed that started this.
All right. Now, you told the Daily News that more music has been recorded by artists from Long Island, Nassau, Suffolk, Brooklyn, and Queens than anywhere else in the world. Musicians have always had to record and perform in Manhattan, but could rarely afford to live there. Do you still think that's the case
today?
Well,
I think that's part of what made Long Island so unique in that, you know, you go back to the Tin Pan Alley days when the music industry on in this country began. That's when they finally realized that they could take sheet music and sell it in the millions. Those artists, those writers, those performers, those song pluggers, they didn't live on Manhattan Island. Because, you know, it was expensive. They lived in Brooklyn. They lived in Queens. Or in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Or in New Jersey. And, you know, they commuted to Manhattan to ply their wares and to do their business.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. We're speaking with Richard Lahamidou, who's the head of the Long Island Music Hall of Fame. And on the phone with us is Gary Ween. He's the president of the board of the New Jersey Music Hall of Fame. And Gary, you were talking a little bit about the scene in Asbury Park. Let's hear a little bit of music from Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes, and then you can tell us about your soap monument. Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes, and even in the name of the band, Gary Ween, you hear that kind of local pride that Richard was talking about on Long Island coming through in New Jersey. Your Music Hall of Fame, as we mentioned, is really just in the beginning stages. You're kicking off with a monument to SOAP, S-O-A-P.
Well, this is actually not entirely with the Music Hall of Fame, but this is the kind of things we want to do. And the people that are behind this are now working with the Music Hall of Fame.
Okay, tell us what it is.
This is the start of music tourism in our area. It's the SOAP is the Sounds of Asbury Park. It is basically the sound that you just heard, Southside Johnny, as well as a myriad of other groups.
Steven Van Zandt, Bruce Springsteen.
Exactly. All the members of the E Street Band, all the members of the bands that they came from and they battled with and everything like that. This monument is basically listing all the guys that were the influential people of the 1960s into the early 70s that helped form this sound, which is really recognized around the world. I mean, it's funny. There are artists that will be on tours around the world as, like, you know, the Sounds of Asbury Park. These aren't even Asbury musicians. It's basically a defined sound of that rock and rhythm and blues and usually, like, horns and that
right.
kind of thing. And on December 9th, there will be a monument placed on the boardwalk right next to Convention Hall in Asbury Park. And more importantly, there's going to be a very special once-in-a-lifetime concert at the Stone Pony where about 20 or 30 of these artists that were there are going to reunite for the first time. Now, most of these people are now spread out all across the country. Many of them have been involved in, you know, all sorts of bands from, like, James Brown to, you know, Grammy Award-winning producers and stuff. And they're all getting back together, and it's going to be a great celebration of the Asbury Park contribution to music in New Jersey.
Now, will this be kind of a fundraiser to get the New Jersey Music Hall of
Fame going? It's more or less it's a celebration of what they did, and we're using it as the start of music tourism to show what can happen. I mean, the monument is a physical monument. It's a sculpture that will be on the boardwalk, and it will always be there. And
that'll be December 9th, right?
That'll be December 9th.
All right, let me bring Richard back in. Richard Lahamidou, Long Island Music Hall of Fame. At your inaugural event, the inductees included Billy Joel, who, according to one report, called Long Island a clash of cultures and an island of extremes. Now, you are including Brooklyn and Queens, which gives you lots of cultures and lots of extremes.
You better believe it.
You know, there will be people who will kind of say, well, you know, Nassau, Suffolk, that's a kind of a suburban lifestyle and might mm-hmm. be producing a very different form of music from Brooklyn and Queens, which are clearly a part of New York City.
Well, it's also clearly a part of Long Island. I mean,
geographically,
geographically, I mean, if we're going to be true to the Long Island Music Hall of Fame, we need Brooklyn and Queens as part of Long Island, and it's never really separated. There is a pothole in Vail Parkway, though. I think when it rains, it fills with water, and they kind of claim it. But, you know, in reality, you know, Brooklyn and Queens, the four counties, actually, Queens, Kings, Nassau, and Suffolk, are part of Long Island,
mm-hmm.
and we are taking it all back. So I'm putting New York City on notice.
All right. Well, New York Magazine, apparently getting that notice, called Long Island the new Seattle not long ago because of the growth of younger emo bands like Taking Back Sunday, where, you know, there's a kind of a sound here, ironically, originally from New Jersey, that has taken hold in Long Island. Let's hear a little bit of the band Taking Back Sunday and their new American classic.
You've got to get better, said it's all in your head. We could live through these letters or forget it altogether. See, the months, they don't matter. It's the days I can't take. When the hours move to minutes and I'm seconds away, just ask the question, come untie the knot. Say you won't care, say you won't care. Retrace the steps as if we forgot. Say you won't care, say you won't care. Try to avoid it, but there's not a doubt, and there's one thing I can tell.
The band Taking Back Sunday in a somewhat unplugged mode here, mm-hmm. and the song New American Classic. Speaking with Richard Lahamidou, who runs the Long Island Music Hall of Fame, and Gary Ween, who will be running the New Jersey Music Hall of Fame when it's up and running. Gary, I mentioned that, you know, this kind of emo style seems to really have taken on a New Jersey cast. I mean, a lot of the top bands in the style were from New Jersey. Big article in the Sunday Times yesterday about the band My Chemical Romance from Belleville, New Jersey. And, you know, pictures of the local Dunkin' Donuts and their kind of dark and sort of, I don't know, a very dimly lit basement where they rehearsed and sort of grew up. Is there a kind of suburban disaffection? And Richard, I'll come to you for the same question. A kind of a suburban disaffection at work in the music that you're hearing from, you know, the younger bands, especially in New Jersey?
I think not only is it in the lyrics, but it's in the venues they play. Many of these bands, especially the emo bands, they basically got their start basement parties at colleges. I mean, some of the towns, it's harder and harder to run a rock and roll club these days. So they're almost what you could say is pure underground bands. They don't have many places to play, but they become, I mean, a perfect example is the band Thursday. Thursday rose to like a, you know, top 10 lists from Spin and Rolling Stone. They basically never played a rock and roll club. They played basement parties.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that kind of shows in the lyrics as well, is that, you know, the musicians now, they just don't have quite as many opportunities as maybe, you know, 20 years ago.
Well, from that that dim basement in Belleville, New Jersey, My Chemical Romance has gone to pretty high up on the charts themselves. Here's a little bit of music from them, another band from New Jersey this time. All right, My Chemical Romance from New Jersey, and we also heard Taking Back Sunday from Long Island. Let's go back to Long Island. Richard Lahamidou, same question to you about suburban disaffection. Is this music the voice of that?
Well, I think, you know, every generation is the voice of where it came from. I mean, Long Island is a suburban area. I mean, there's no two ways about it. I think what's...
Except for Brooklyn and Queens.
Well, it's still suburban. It was a suburban... That's what it was originally designed as, is a suburban area to New York City. I mean, what I think what's really important, I think what New York Magazine missed, is that, all right, we may be the new Seattle in their eyes, but we've been doing this for over 100 years. Mm. You know, we've been giving the world music talent for, you know, I mean, you've got the jazz era,
Well, before we take a break, I want to mention two names that people will have heard of, one from New Jersey and one from Long Island, Frank Sinatra and Tony Bennett. Gary, it's hard to talk about New Jersey music without mentioning Frank Sinatra. How important to the, not just the musical life, but to New Jersey's kind of image of itself is an iconic figure like Frank Sinatra?
Well, to be honest, when we first started the idea of a museum, it was going to be on a much more local level, but it was Frank Sinatra that made us think we can't do a museum just on, like, Asbury Park, because obviously if you're going to do something in New Jersey, and music tourism all across the country and even the world is just becoming bigger and bigger with more museums, we thought, you know, somebody is going to do a statewide museum, and they're going to have Sinatra, and that's going to trump anything we could do. So we actually, we pretty much reevaluated everything and made it statewide simply because Frank is, you know, probably one of the top three in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go anywhere, you know, in the world and people don't know half of his songs.
Tony Bennett on Long Island, is he kind of the main competition to Frank Sinatra in New Jersey, would you say?
I would say more he's the main person that would stand side by side to Frank Sinatra. Long Island has a lot of great, and you know, the jazz era and that whole era, it has a lot going on there. And Tony Bennett is one of the greats.
All right. In a moment, we're going to open the phones and we're going to ask you who rocks harder, who croons better, who swings with more style, New Jersey or Long Island. But also, You know, tell us what you think about the various scenes. You know, there was an awful lot to say about local radio and local nightclubs and local rock clubs and jazz clubs, and much of that has disappeared. So give us your thoughts about the scene in either New Jersey or on Long Island. You can call us at 212-264-7483. That's our studio number, 212-264-7483. You can also email us, soundcheck@wnyc.org.
Sunshine day, you ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine?
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We're talking about New Jersey and Long Island today on the show, their respective music scenes and their respective music halls of fame. And we're taking your calls now at 212-264-7483. Who has the better music, New Jersey or Long Island? What defines the sound of these areas? Are New Jersey and Long Island suffering because they are in the shadow cast by New York City? Give us a call or send us an email, soundcheck@wnyc.org. And again, the phone number, 212-264-7483. My guests are Richard Lahamadou, who's heading up the Long Island Music Hall of Fame, and Gary Ween, who's behind the efforts to create the New Jersey Music Hall of Fame. Gary, we were just listening to Count Basie and his band there. Born in Red Bank, New Jersey, and is he therefore eligible for the New Jersey Music Hall of Fame?
Oh, he is definitely a big part. I was born in the same town, and I'm very, very proud of everything Count's done.
Now, Richard, you guys are eager to claim Count Basie as well.
Oh, yes. He lived in Queens for his, during his career. That's where he made his home.
All right. And he's called the Kid from Red Bank on his album.
That's right. we can share him, no problem.
All right, so now this gets into the whole question of how do you define somebody as either a New Jersey or a Long Island artist? I mean, let's take John Coltrane, Richard, for example.
All right, John Coltrane. Our induction criteria is really, really simple. You're either born, raised, or lived on Long Island during a significant portion of your career. Now, John Coltrane wrote Love Supreme in his Dix Hills home. Now, if that's not significant, I can't tell you what is.
All right. So it's not this guy stepped off a plane at JFK and therefore he was on Long Island and he's eligible.
No. Okay. You actually have to have something significant within your career or a significant portion of your career as part of, their life.
Okay. Gary, Count Basie was born in Red Bank, New Jersey. I guess that qualifies as a significant event in his life. Is that enough to get him into
he spent the first about 18, 20 years. I mean, his first gigs as a professional musician were in New Jersey. And then, throughout his career, he had, I think there's like 9 songs related to Red Bank. Mm. You know, the Kid from Red Bank, Red Bank Stomp, goes on, Red Bank Boogie, goes on and on. So obviously he never really forgot where he came from. But I agree. I think that it's a significant body of work, like, in that area. I mean, we have a lot of artists. I think everywhere in the world does when, somebody may have been a son of an army person. So they were born in an area, but they only lived a year or two.
Right.
Well, we're not really going to, deal with that. However, if they were somebody that maybe put out a very significant album while living there, that is something that is up for debate.
Okay. Let's take some calls. Let's begin. Actually, we're talking about New Jersey and Long Island, and so appropriately we begin in the middle in Manhattan I'm told now that the phones have all gone away. Well, that's strange.
Really?
All right, so let's go back to some music. Richard, rapper Chuck D dubbed Long Island Strong Island because, of all the great rap and hip-hop that came.
Fantastic rap and hip-hop.
Who's represented in the initial inductees into the Long Island Music Hall of Fame?
Well, the first rap group that we inducted was Run DMC.
Okay, and this is Run DMC on Soundcheck.
I wore my sneakers, but I'm not a sneak. My Peter touched the sand of a foreign land with my ear. I told him to
DMC, singing about my Adidas and representing Long Island. Long Island in the house, in the Hall of Fame now.
Yes, they are.
The Music Hall of Fame. All right, let's go back to the phones, which we apparently have resurrected from whatever ether they disappeared into. And B, joining us from Manhattan to talk about either New Jersey or Long Island or both. Hi, B.
Hi there. I'm actually going to cover a little bit of everything here. I live in Manhattan now. I'm originally a Jersey girl. And, Richard, I hate to rag on Long Island, but I have to call something into question here. I really am having a hard time with the inclusion of Brooklyn and Queens as the greater kind of suburban identity of this Long Island music scene, because mainly Brooklyn technically was the industrial city center before Manhattan was. So to even, to consider Brooklyn a suburb of Manhattan, I find kind of historically inaccurate and currently rather peculiar.
Well, and sort of culturally, Brooklyn and Queens, Richard, seem to be a kind of a different, different
You're
animal.
Absolutely right. But no matter how you slice it, they're part of Long Island. You mm-hmm. can't take it away. There is no trench between down the Nassau County line that separates it to a separate island. It is on Long Island. They always have been on Long Island. And if we're going to have a Long Island Music Hall of Fame, then Brooklyn and Queens, they're ours. We're taking them back.
Gary, you've got New Jersey. Are you guys casting covetous glances at Staten Island as well?
No, we're very comfortable with our borders.
Okay. Back to the phones. Rich, joining us in Long Beach.
How
Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm 46. When I was growing up, WLIR was the progressive radio station on Long Island.
Right.
And then
Briefly WDRE, and then they went back to LIR.
Right. Yeah. And then you had the other station, 92.3, in the 80s. I forget what the call number letters were, but they were playing all the new music during the 80s. Today, LIR is a Spanish radio station. All the other stations are playing nothing but classic rock, which is great if you want to hear Bob Seger over and over and over. But
you sound like that's not a bad thing. A lot of good
things,
Rich.
No, that's a great thing. But if you're like 25 and under, I guess you're getting your music from the internet because there's almost nobody playing anything new.
All right. Now, Rich, you've raised a really good point, and I want to throw this to Richard Lahamidou because – Richard, what Rich is talking about, WLIR played new bands. My father's place was this great club where you could see all the hot. I mean, I saw Talking Heads there, shortly after seeing them at CBGB's. They were not too far down on the food chain back in the 70s and stuff. These places aren't around anymore. So where does the cultural scene coalesce in Long Island?
Well, the Long Island the music industry as a whole is changing. In fact, you talk about LIR. I mean, Dennis McNamara is on our board of directors from the old LIR days. Thank God for public radio, because they're the ones that are still holding that torch of bringing new music to the public. Places like WNYC, like right here, and, USB out in Stony Brook.
So college stations out
College stations. Thank God for them.
Let me ask Gary Ween the same question, because Gary, Asbury Park, Stone Pony, that's a scene. What else is going on there? Where does the music happen when it's not happening in basements in Belleville, New Jersey?
Well, there's always been a few areas that have been very strong music scenes. Asbury's one of them. In addition to the Stone Pony, there's several other clubs, the Saint, Asbury Lanes, the Wonder Bar, for example. Hoboken still has some very good clubs, Maxwell's as well as several other ones. New Brunswick, a lot of clubs have shut down, but the Court Tavern still provides, a lot of upcoming bands. And, they're spread out across the state, but it is tough. And clubs have shut down, and radio has definitely changed.
All right. Well, you mentioned Maxwell's in Hoboken. That's a club that this band, Yola Tengo, came out of and continues to play at, and they continue to support the music scene there in New Jersey. A little bit of Yola Tengo. We'll take a final phone call or two and wrap up our conversation about New Jersey and Long Island.
Driver and his wife, in my cold road.
Yolotengo, from the Hoboken, New Jersey scene, and centered around the club known as Maxwell. So, you know, there are still places where music is happening, and the halls of fame in both Long Island and New Jersey, hoping to be kind of a nexus of ways to celebrate the music of these various places and to find out what's going on. Let's see if we can take one final call, and Sam joins us from neither New Jersey nor Long Island, but from Westchester. Hi, Sam.
Hi.
Were you?
Thank you very much for taking the call. I enjoy your program so much. I'm 81 years old, and in 1942, I was a young kid, and a friend of mine and myself got jobs as waiters in a place called Belmar, New Jersey. We went down, and we worked very, very hard, and at night, we used to go down to the boardwalk, and we used to watch these very, very, very cute Jersey girls doing a dance called the Jersey Bounce. Actually, we found out later it was called the Lindy Hop.
Uh-huh.
But it was a great and wonderful time for us. So, and I'll never forget it as long as I live.
So the girls were pretty down there on the Jersey
they
boardwalk.
They were lovely.
All right. Well, Richard, I'm not going to ask you for a rejoinder on behalf of Long Island girls. But
well, you know, they say about them South Shore girls, man.
Richard Lahamadou is the head of the Long Island Music Hall of Fame, and Gary Ween is heading the efforts for the New Jersey Music Hall of Fame. And Gary, Richard has very generously offered between sections of the program here today to help you guys out. They're a few steps ahead of you.
Yeah, oh, Gary, we definitely would love to talk. And just as Heath mentioned, you know, we really were influenced by the Georgia Music Hall of Fame as well. And in my point of view, the more of these, the better, because I think music tourist fans we'll just keep going all across the country.
If
we had one in Long Island and one in New Jersey, that's better for both of us.
Guys, to both of you, let me leave it there. Richard, Gary, thanks for joining us. Good luck with the respective music halls of fame.
They're making me feel I'm home.
Thanks for listening to Soundcheck from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Each day we dig into what's happening in music, and you can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. All of this is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. Thanks.